Brother Sherman.
Thank you, Brother Roy, and it's a real joy and privilege for me to be here. I enjoyed the good message last night, and this morning it kind of reminded me a little bit about my missionary journey. I left the Sachs Baptist Church after being there for 8.5 years and went up to Rome, stayed up there a year, and the Lord was making me willing all the time. And I left there and went over to the Second Baptist Church at Boaz. And if you don't know where Boaz in Alabama is, you don't know where the home and the beginning of the family reunions are. Now, there's more folks go up there when they die than they do to Nashville. Amen. That's where they started. And I was in the Second Baptist Church there as a pastor in Boaz, and a big old dog had crawled under the church and died. He'd been under there for a couple of weeks. And I said, I've been in a lot of dead churches, preached in a lot of dead services, but this is the only one ever smelled like it. Hey, we had a time. Amen. The Lord blessed, and he made me willing. And I went back to where I'd left, and God's really blessed. The Lord has a way of making you willing, isn't it? A fellow was out in a cemetery walking around, and he saw this little inscription on a tomb. And it said, pause, stranger, as you pass me by. As you are now, once was I. As I am now, soon you shall be. Prepare for death and follow me. He wasn't exactly pleased with that, so he took a little piece of charcoal and put another line under it. And he said, to follow you, I'll not be content until I'm sure of which place you went. We need to leave more than the footprints of a heel in the sands of time. The Apostle Paul said, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you to Jesus. Amen. If you'll follow me, I'll lead you to Jesus. And that ought to be the prayer and the desire and walk of every born-again believer. If any little old junior boy, intermediate, or a young person will follow you, we ought to lead them right straight to Jesus. That's what he said. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I would have used just a very simple message here for today and a very simple topic. You can. You can. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would have just turned that thought around and say, you can. You can. Now let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we're conscious of our need of you. We need your power and presence and Holy Spirit anointing. And I pray now the Holy Ghost to make the Word of God live. Open our heart to the Word. And open your Word to our hearts and make this a high and holy and blessed hour. Help us to do our best for you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of excuses made today why the church and why Christian people are not doing more than what they are for the Lord. But I've always believed in these years that I've been pastor and preaching that there's enough potential, there's enough power, there's enough people, and there's enough provisions in every local congregation to carry on an effective work for the glory of God if we can just get everybody in their place where they belong for the Lord. Amen. It's there. It's always there in every local congregation. And Paul said, you can. You can. There's a lot of needs today. And I say, first of all, we need to see the Lord. We need to see the Lord in his holiness. We need to see him in his holiness. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And you'll never do anything until you see the Lord. We've got our eyes on the material things and the things of the world and buildings and stained windows and stately buildings and towering steeples and fine musical programs, and all of it's good in its place. But the one thing we need is to see the Lord in our day. We need to see the holiness of God. We've seen so many other things, and the Lord is played down as just a little paper doll God that we are pushed in the corner, and the average Christian today is browbeat and battered and bloody, sitting over in the corner, and he can't fight his way out of a paper sack. And he said, you can. He said, you can. We need to see the Lord in his holiness, and we need to see man in his helplessness. Paul said, I can do it through Christ which strengtheneth me. Without the Lord, every sermon, every song, every prayer, every Sunday school lesson is sound and brash unless it's anointed of God and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We'd be better off at home somewhere than we would. And whenever we recognize our helplessness, that all of our power and glory that come from the Lord, we'll be able to do a little bit better for the Lord. Not only do we need to see our helplessness, but we need to see the horror of sin. We look at sin as a civic center, country club, social order today, and everything has become socially accepted, from the perverts to everything under high heaven, to blaspheming God's word, desecrating God's law and God's day, and playing down the blood and the Lord and everything under high heaven. We need to see what sin's doing to people. And sin will wreck my life, it'll wreck my home and my family, it'll wreck this church and your life and your family and everybody else. It'll even wreck that bunch up in Washington. We need to see the horror of sin. If I was walking outside here at the front door and there's a big rattler called out then, and these young people started out, and I deliberately and willfully refused to tell them that that serpent was there ready to strike the person that stepped out the door, you'd think I was a terrible enemy. You could never figure it out. But no rattler has ever struck people like sin does. And we need to tell people what sin is doing in this world. The horror of sin. We need to see it. We need to see the hopelessness of the sinner. The sinners are hopeless without the Lord. And they need more than reformation, and they need more than religion. And we need more than just routine and march in and march out and stand up. We need something we don't have today. And that's a mighty miracle working power of God in the service. If folks come into the church and go out the same way, we missed it. We missed it. Then we need to see the hell for the sinner. Whenever you see that men are dying lost and they're going out in eternity without God, if you've ever stood by the bedside of a sinner and see the demons of hell come and encamp around about that lost sinner and see them die in their sins without God and see the hell of hell on their face as they go out of this world. You know, if we can stop the hospitals from giving this high-powered sedative and let people die in their sins like they are, and let the saints die saved and reach up to glory and praise God, it'd change this world a little bit. We need to see it. Paul said you can. You can. I want to mention a few things you can do. First of all, you can be saved eternally. I'm glad I don't have a haphazard hit and miss, dollar down, part-time salvation. I'm glad I'm in. I'm saved. You can be saved eternally. I'm saved by the grace of God. The word grace comes from the root word beauty. And it's the grace of God that can take an old ugly, dirty, filthy, God despising, beer drinking, blurry-eyed and cussing, blaspheming sinner and save him and put a Bible in his hand and make him walk with God. It's the grace of God that can save a person. It's the grace of God that can take a woman that's selling herself and soul to Satan and the devil in the world and make her beautiful and holy in the presence of God. It's the grace of God that can do that. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God that moved upon the earth. Whenever the earth was in chaos and confusion, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Grace brought about order and beauty and restoration. And I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself. Not only am I saved by the grace of God, but I'm saved by the gift of God. God gave his gift. And the Apostle Paul was talking about giving your money. And then he stopped and went far above all of the clouds and got excited in the Lord. And he said, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the unspeakable gift. Ain't no way you can describe that one. I'm saved by the gift of God. I'm not going by my works. I'm going by what's already been done. I'm not going by my attainment. I'm going to go by the atonement. Hallelujah. Saved. Saved by the wonderful gift of God. God gave his son. Then not only am I saved by grace, and not only am I saved by the gift of God, but I'm saved for good. Amen. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You're in. Now, if you're losing your salvation, I've got more faith in it than you have, so just keep going. Amen. You can be saved. You can be saved eternally. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then you can be separated entirely. He said, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm going to lose some folks here. Amen. Amen. Now, your separation is by your looks. You ought to look like you're saved. Amen. You just ought to look like you're saved. There's a lot of things I wanted to be in life. I wanted to be a pilot. I started taking flying lessons, wanted to fly. There's a lot of things I've wanted to be in life. But there's one thing I've never wanted to be. I've never wanted to look like a woman, act like a woman, smell like a woman, anything about it. I've always wanted to look like a man. Amen. You ought to look like a Christian if you're saved. Amen. And then your literature ought to be Christian literature. You can the more read the filth of this world and pollute the mind and have the love of God in your heart, and you can eat this building without any salt on it. Amen. Your literature, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind is the seat of reflective consciousness. And in that mind, it's just like a living room. There's where you entertain guests. Amen. A lot of folks have worry to knock on the door, and they say, come on in, worry, and we'll sit around and have a two or three cups of coffee, and we'll have a spell of worrying together. You ought to say, goodbye, worry, I don't need you. You entertain guests in the living room. Amen. You ought to say, the Lord is my special guest. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You can be separated entirely. Not only by your looks and not only by your literature, but also by your language. Amen. Now, if you look like a Christian or you read like a Christian, you ought to talk like a Christian. Amen. You know, God requires us to be separated from many things. Jesus went outside the camp. He did. Now, you know what the camp is talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees and the religions of his day. He went outside of that, and he died alone. He died alone in order that we might be saved by the grace of God. And he said, come out from among, and he's listed a great host of things here in Corinthians that the Christians ought to be separated from. And you cannot have fellowship with a person that denies the inspiration of the Word of God. Amen. I made a fellow mad the other day. We didn't have fellowship because he got mad. He said, I said, how you know you're saved? He tried to pick an argument with him. He said, well, I'll tell you how I know I'm saved. He said, I came in contact with the blood on the water. I said, that's the nearest to blasphemy I ever heard in all of my life. He didn't like that. I said, Jesus Christ went into the Holy of Holies with his own precious blood, and it's still there, and it's not in nobody's baptistry. Amen. Amen. His blood is not in nobody's baptistry. Praise the Lord. Amen. His blood is inside the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, laid down and the atonement for our salvation. Hallelujah. We need to be separated. And it takes some things. When you can't separate with a person that denies the blood, the inspiration of the Bible, and the holy things of God, because we're poles apart. And we ought to come together on the things we believe. And I don't think you ought to split hairs over every little viewpoint. Amen. But there's some things that we ought to die for. I believe that Jesus stepped out of the carnations of heaven, that he is the eternal one. He's a pre-existent one. I believe he stepped down the corners of heaven to come down to the cruelness of Calvary. I believe he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was virgin born. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutional death. And on the third day, he got up out of that grave. Every part of him got out. He marched through the corners of Abraham's bosom and said, "Call on Testament." And he ascended him on high. Amen. Amen. Glory. You can really live a separated life. Amen. You don't have to let the devil drag you through every mud hole in the world. Amen. I know you get bogged down every now and then, but every time you do, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost will back up, hook to you, and pull you through it, and you'll come out shining. Hilda, you can live a separate life. And then I believe you can serve excitedly. Yeah, I believe you can serve God excitedly. You can be happy. I'm happier now when I'm not happy than I used to be when I thought I was happy. Hey, you can serve the. You know why the world is filled with people today? You know why the ball games have thousands of people in the racetrack down at that Winston 500?
Yeah.
We've got the Winston 25 there in front of the church every Sunday morning. Amen. Now, do you know why? You know why they're all there? You know why they're there? Is because of the excitement. And whenever God's people had come together and sing and pray and shout the victory and enjoy the blessing of God, the folks would come to see what's going on around there. Amen. The Lord's people come in. "I'm having such a hard time. I want y'all to pray for me." That'll kill any service. I visited a lady the other day, and I said, "Miss Ingram, how are you feeling?" "Oh," she said, "Brother Harper, I never felt so bad in my life." She said, "I can't walk but two or three steps, and I have a short breathing spell, and I just have to sit down, and everything's so bad, I just can't." I said, "Oh, I got to go home." I was feeling bad. Made me feel bad. Amen. And that's the way it is in the house of God. If we're serving the Lord excitedly, if there's some excitement about being, you know, one of the things that made the New Testament Christians what they were excited about their resurrected Lord. They were excited about it, and everywhere they went, they stirred up something because of their excitement for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can be enlightened spiritually. You can be enlightened spiritually. He said, "Enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." You can be enlightened about the will of God for your life. If any man know the will, he can know it. God will reveal his will if you'll wait before him. And then not only that, but you in the work of God. You can be enlightened about the work of God, where the Lord has a place for you. And then in not only in the work, but in the witnessing. The Holy Spirit of God points out every detail when it comes to witnessing and working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I think about, we can surrender our all to the Lord. We can surely surrender everything to the Lord. We can surrender everything we have. We can surrender to the Lord. We used to sing the old song, "In my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling." Amen. Just come to the Lord. Just yield into everything to him and let him take our life and let his power work within us. Read a story the other day where the church was dedicating a new organ, and they wired it up wrong, and the preacher was just in the middle of the big ceremony about dedicating the new organ, and the power went off, and the electrician went to work hurriedly to replace the fuse, and he wrote a little note. Wow. And the pastor got in a tight, and he didn't know what to do, and he said, "Let's pray." Might ought to start it like that. And he said, "Let us pray." See, that wasn't on the program. And while he was praying, the usher came up and put a little note down by the pastor in front of him. And he said, "After the prayer, the power will be back on." Amen. Amen. Oh, what a need for God's people to have a victorious, overcoming, spirit-filled life and enjoying our salvation, so the world will be envious of our relationship with God and with the joy and fellowship that we have with the saints and have such a wonderful time. Folks, just, you know how the Lord said folks would get saved? Not because of the big bill and all of that. He said, because you love one another. He said, by this you'll all men know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. Amen. Oh, praise his name. There's two frogs that fell in a jar of cream. You remember that old story. Some of you youngsters don't. One of them was a Baptist. He said, I've been having a hard time. He said, I know this is a hard road, and I just can't hardly make it. And he said, I know this comes the time when all frogs have got to die. And he settled down in the jar of cream and died. The other frog said, I'm from an old line of fighting frogs. He said, my grandfather was a fighter, and my father was a fighter. And he said, there's some of that frog fighting blood left in me. And he started kicking, and a little bit, the cream turned to butter, and he bounced out. Now, we magnify our problems. We magnify our difficulties, and the apostle said, I magnify mine office. Amen. Now that's the difference. And whenever we come to the place where we're glorifying the Lord, that everything works together for our good. You know, one of the things that have been more to me, I guess, than anything as a servant of God is the Apostle Paul. In that Mamertine prison over in Rome, that one little ray of light coming down through the cell, in their winter coming on with one coat, didn't have a bunch of shoes and a Hollywood suit every time he turned around. Just had one cloak. He said, now, winter's coming on, bring my coat. And then he said, rejoice. And I say unto you again, rejoice. Here's a man with 195 scars down his back. He'd been beaten with rods 5 times. He'd been stoned and left for dead at Lystra. He had been in the sea 14 days and left without any food whatsoever. And all of this, he said, I have the care of the church and those within and those without. And he said, rejoice. And rejoice. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. And if we come to the point where we can rejoice in our problems, rejoice in our burdens, rejoice in our trials, and give God all of the glory, the world will see that we've been with Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.